So let us just take a few moments in silence to pray that the Word of God will take root in our hearts, that it's just been proclaimed and not returned to Him void. Good morning. So the message of today's homily is don't bury your talents. And each and every one of us has been given talents and gifts from God to be used for the building of His kingdom. And from the time we come into the world, it is our responsibility to seek the Lord with all of our heart, while He may be found. And God will bring people into our lives to help us recognize that each one of us has different gifts to be used for the upbuilding of the body of Christ. And really, you know, we had some baptisms last time. We had three baptisms with one family from Samoa. And I reminded them that, you know, it's the role of parents to help their children recognize their destiny in the Lord Jesus Christ, that all of us have something to do for the kingdom of God. And it's not the same, so we don't ever want to live our lives comparing ourselves to other people, but praying for the Holy Spirit to refine us and to show us what God is asking us to do in our own individual realities, our own vocations, to build up and construct the kingdom of God. And parents certainly have the role of helping their children believe that. I was at the Mustard Seed Kingdom last night at St. Luke's in Shoreline, helping them with this wonderful evening of renovation and renewal, where we pray for healing and we have adoration and then confessions. And I remember reminding several people in confession, Jeremiah 29:11, "For I alone know the plans I have for you, plans to bring about the future you hope for when you seek me with your heart, you will find me. You will call to me and I will answer you, for you seek me with your heart." And how we're all supposed to help each other remember that promise that God gave us in His Word. And so often the enemy puts us down and bends our ears and, you know, tries to get us to doubt the goodness of God. And so we don't seek God's will and we compare ourselves to the people and we get ourselves in a really bad place or paralyzed in fear. And we just don't bear a lot of fruit and use the talents and gifts that God has given us. So we always want to pray against the wickedness of the enemy who's lying to us constantly. Oh, you made a mistake. You'll never recover from that. You can't do anything. You're a loser. I mean, he's just constantly working on us, especially in social media now, and even in people in our lives, and even family members sometimes can be really hurtful and say mean-spirited things to us that get us to doubt that we have these gifts and talents that God has given us to be used for the upbuilding of the kingdom. And I remember one of the first lessons they shared with us at the Encounter Ministries 2 years ago when I was in that class was we need to avoid performance-based living, where we base our value and our worth on how well we perform for other people. And it's really easy to do that. I'm an artist, I'm a musician, so I know very easily how, well, did you like that? No, you really sang awful today. What? And then you just question your worth and value. Well, I must not be a good person because I sang awful today. How easily we can kind of equate our value and our worth to what we're given and how well other people like us or are pleased with what we do for them. And I shared this with you a couple of weeks ago, but I remember when I first turned to the Lord really sincerely in my heart, my junior year of high school, I realized that I need to be most concerned with what God thinks of me and not what other people think of me. And it's not an excuse to tune out from other people and their needs and responsibilities you have to them. But the bottom line is, am I pleasing God in all things and putting God first in my life? And the more we live like that, then the more happy we're going to be. Because we're going to lose our talents and gifts and our abilities to do things as we get older. I recently had a conversation with a friend of mine who's having some cognitive challenges in her mind. And, you know, had always prided herself on, I'm just sharp and up to task for everything. And now all of a sudden that's kind of being taken away from her as we get older. And so I just gently reminded them that, you know, hey, God still loves you and you just got to do the best you can with what you have. But all of us are going to diminish in one way or another. I mean, we have the physical reality of gravity that, you know, everything starts sinking in our bodies. And we're not as physically as spry as we used to be. I remember being on the light rail a couple of years ago. I went to a concert at Benaroya Hall with some friends of mine. And I came back and it was a gentleman on the train with me, the only one in the train that I was in. It was either on something or just really agitated and kept huffing and puffing and breathing and staring at me. I didn't realize you could pretend you're asleep, but I didn't do that. But I tried not to make eye contact with him. And I remember thinking to myself, I don't have any pepper spray. I have no weapons to defend myself if he attacks me. But I remember my wrestling moves from high school. I thought, Hey, there's a consolation. But then as I thought more deeply about it, it's like, yes, you remember them in your head, but your body is not going to respond to those commands the way it used to, because it's not the same body you used to have when you were 18 or 17 years old, right? Everything just kind of starts failing us. So we have to remember that we do the best we can with what we have, but, you know, we're going to have limitations in our life as we get older. We can't do the things we used to do. That doesn't mean you're not a child of God. That doesn't mean God doesn't love you. He's asking you, do the best you can to love the people I put in your life and love me. That's it. But how often we're just programmed, well, it's not enough, and you're a loser, you're a failure, you can't do what you used to do, your value's based on your performance. That's a lie from the enemy. We need to renounce it in the name of Jesus. Amen?
Amen.
And to pray for creativity, I just announced to you before the Mass started that, yet again, our parish configuration has changed. So we could kind of take that as, oh, what, another change, yada, yada, yada. Or, this is God's opportunity to use me to be creative, to say, okay, what can we do with this now, and how can we serve God and glorify God in the midst of all these changing realities around us and have that positive, proactive attitude. So often we just kind of retreat and we lament that, well, things aren't the way they used to be. No, they're not. We're moving forward, you know. And God is wanting to challenge us to trust in Him, that He will provide exceedingly and abundantly for all of our needs. But that means we have to shift our mind and say, help me put on the mind of Christ and to make the best of what's given to me right now in this circumstance. And I told you before, it's so nice to be surrounded by people that think like that. It's not the majority of people, but when people come into your life who challenge you and you start thinking negatively about some situation or circumstance in your life, maybe God is offering another opportunity to look at this differently. I so appreciate those people in my life. I wish there were more that just kind of challenge you. Hey, don't get negative and just dwell on the past and all these things that have happened, but maybe God is opening the door to understand something new, or He wants to show you something new in your life. Amen? Creativity. It's not listed as one of the fruits of the Holy Spirit, but I think St. Paul should have put that down. Who am I to question St. Paul? But, you know, the fruits of the Holy Spirit are this. Creativity has to be one of them. Flexibility in the midst of all these changing things around us. And then the last thing, the first reading from Proverbs 31. Beautiful reading that's celebrating the godliness of a wife. You know, and certainly we can give thanks to God for all the wonderful women in our lives, my mom, my grandparents, who have just been a sign of hope and God's love and goodness to us, and to celebrate, as John Paul II said, the feminine genius in our world today. But I think this is a greater call to just celebrate goodness and virtue in people. You know, we're so aware of what's broken in our world today and what's not working. The news just flashes out on every evening. And we have to go out of our way to say, you know what, but there's still wonderful people in this world who have a good heart or serving God and trying to do the best they can. Let's celebrate that virtue and goodness in those people, right? And so this is the last chapter, I think, in Proverbs 31, that's the last chapter in the book, that just celebrates the goodness of a godly woman who loved God and loved her family and did what she could to serve and provide for them. We need to pray, especially in light of Thanksgiving coming on Thursday, that we do a better job of that as Catholics. I mean, the central source of our worship, the foundation of our worship, is to give thanks, Eucharistian, to give thanks to God, the Eucharist. And so in our daily lives, we just want to ask the Holy Spirit to help us. Lord, maybe I'm just dwelling on what's missing in my life, what's not working out. Is there anything I can give you thanks for today? Right? So if you read the bulletin column that I wrote a couple weeks ago, I kind of want to bring that up to us. And, you know, don't take for granted your family members that you're going to gather with on Thursday, because they might not be here next year. I said that last weekend. You know, my dad, he's not going to be here this year for Thanksgiving. I was very much aware of that because he was really sick last year. But he was still jovial, even though he's vomiting numerous times because of the chemotherapy. He still found time to make humor, to affirm us, to do the best he could with the reality he was given. So let's pray that as we gather this week with our families for safe travels for all of us that are traveling, but also that we not take for granted our family members that God has given us, and that we affirm and love them in the power of Jesus Christ. Amen.